Hello, I'm Kevin Henry, and I am thrilled to introduce you to a brand new, informative, and entertaining podcast called Limitless Journeys, the African Immigrant Podcast. Listeners to this podcast are in for a real cultural treat as we kick off a series of podcast episodes that will inspire, educate, and enlighten. Now let me step aside and let the hosts introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Maura C.K.
And I'm David Bolinda.
And you're listening to Limitless Journeys, the African Immigrant Podcast. I wanted to start off by talking about any type of mental health programs you have going there. They could be big ones or small ones, or even how you might incorporate mental health into what you're doing on the farm. So any opportunity that you see in what you're doing where you can go, hey, we could like educate people about mental health. Or as I think you've mentioned in the past, perhaps there's people you're working with that have mental health issues. And I know you have the background, David, in as a mental health therapist. So just tell me about that. And then we could just kind of go into some other issues about mental health in general that I think can be helpful to people. Because there's people that are under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of people with anxiety and depression and fear. And I mean, I even hate driving down the freeway sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I see these people driving all crazy. And then about every other day, I'll see some road rage incident, like where somebody gets mad because, you know, David cut me off and now I'm going to follow him down the freeway and jump out of the car and hit him over the head with a baseball bat. I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? So maybe just tell me what's going on at the farm with mental health.
Thank you, Kevin, very much for this opportunity. First, I would like, before we talk about what our interventions are or the process that you're using, I'd like, first of all, to talk a little bit about mental health, especially amongst refugees and immigrants. Now, as you know, when you leave one place willingly or unwillingly and relocate to another place, which now becomes your home, it comes with a lot of challenges at times. Even if it's out of choice, when you go to, let's say, when we moved from Delaware to Washington, we had to start figuring out, where is the store? Do I have friends here? How will I, you know, have people who bring substance to my life? And not forgetting that by the time you left there, you were still carrying some mental health challenges and baggages that you now transfer to this new environment and add another layer of mental health challenges, thinking that you've moved from the past. So that element of just moving can cause a lot of adjustment disorders. We have seen people having a very, very difficult time trying to adjust, especially those who have come here as refugees because they were running away from something, or they were brought here because of war or something like that. And when they get here, they find those opportunities. They are told, this is the land of opportunity, but figure it out yourself. So how do I figure? But some people don't even speak English. Some people don't understand what they're being asked and stuff like that. That's just one element of mental health challenges that we face. The other aspect is a cultural one. Many communities from where we come from, especially African communities, the issue of mental health is seen as something that is negative. So when you say somebody has a mental health issue, people would say, I'm a Noki, that's his, you know, cuckoo. So you going, and then there's the other element of you not wanting to talk about your things because, hey, how can I wash my dirty linen in public? So there are those so many elements that we have not gotten away from. And when we migrate here or when we move here, they're still there. They have not gone anywhere. And then we come here and start getting children over here. So when we start getting our kids here, and remember, we still have a lot of baggage which is unresolved. Our children come in, we start getting kids, they start growing up, they start going to school, and now they have an identity crisis. how do I identify as? Am I Kenyan American or am I Ethiopian American or Ugandan American? So what am I? Me as a parent, I'm trying to tell my kids, oh, you know, you're a Kenyan. You know, one funny thing is that some of these young kids, when we used to tell them, you know, you have to be very grateful that you're in America because, you know, when I was growing up, most of the kids would tell me that, oh, when I was growing up, oh, you used to go, my nieces tell me, oh, you used to go to school without shoes, da, 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 da. We're in America, bro. So there are those aspects of mental health challenges that we are talking about. And even before we seek the intervention, we would probably start with the acknowledgement that we have to find in our own communities ways of just creating that awareness that, you know what, there are mental health challenges. And mental health is not specific to American people, to white people, or to this community. It can be everywhere. We have seen a lot of people having depression, having a post-traumatic stress disorder, having adjustment issues, having anxiety. So having said that, when we think in terms of mental health, for example, in Swahili, how would I call mental health? I'm a Swahili teacher. Maybe I don't even know how to call it. So in those conversations, as we speak, it is important to identify what we understand as mental health and what we do not understand as mental health. And then our communities that live here is just trying to create that awareness and educating our community that it is not a bad thing. That mental health, when we talk about mental health, we're saying about your wellness. We talk about trying to go to the gym so that you can feel fit for your body. We're talking about eating right, diet, nutrition. We talk about going to church so that you can get your spiritual fulfillment. We go to jobs and work very hard to do doubles and all this so that we can have financial peace. And yet we forget the engine that guides all these conversations. So that's where I think we try to, first of all, see the whole picture before now we can start breaking it into segments and figuring out how can we correct this and be able to educate our community as we go, so that as we continue, we can be able to know that we are in this space and these are our challenges and we have our own solutions as our own community. The third aspect, and I'll be real quick, is the idea of the way we do therapy as African people. The African community is not individualistic. We work together. We have big families. We eat together. We share what we have. Biti says, I am because we are. And since we are, I am Ubuntu. But when we come here, it was very interesting when I came here the first time I started my first job. And I realized that it's lunchtime. And so this lady says, she was going to buy food, said, anybody wants lunch? I'm going to go get it. So I said, oh, sure. Where's the menu? So she gives me, I said, I want some steak. And then she goes and drinks this. And then she said, oh, it's $28. And I'm like, I thought you asked if we wanted lunch.
That's about three lunches right there.
It was not a free lunch. I thought I was going to get it. So, and I was making like $6 an hour. So I realized I'm going to eat like 5 hours in this one steak. I was so pissed off that day. But it's just the understanding that she was offering, it's about me. I'm buying my food. I'm not buying our food. So I probably will stop there for now, just to highlight. Let Mara say something.
Yeah, well, I want Mara to chime in as well. But before that happens, I just wanted to say that I'm very thankful that you brought up the cultural differences when it comes to how people view mental health or seeking help or going to a counselor or seeing a therapist. And I immediately was thinking about, like, in this country, I mean, if you turn on the TV, you see like TV shows, you've got Dr. Phil, and you've got people that get up in front of a national TV audience and just put their dirty laundry out all over the TV. I mean, you're talking about people with drug problems, affairs, you know, my husband ran off with my sister, you know, I mean, just, and I'm thinking there's no way that's such a private type of thing. Like if I'm going through something, the last thing I'm going to do, unless people paid me a lot of money, is go on TV and let the whole world know about how screwed up my life is. But yet in other cultures, like you say, it's shameful, or, oh, you know, it's something you don't want people to know about, or you don't even think. And in some cases, males in particular, I don't need to see a therapist. I can handle it myself, kind of thing. And then you get as a young boy, or as boys are told, you know, stop crying and be quiet and pull your pants up. And, you know, they don't even allow a lot of boys to, it's getting better now, but a lot of times boys aren't even allowed to express their emotions or even deal with them. And I think that's one reason why there can be so much violence in when it comes to males with domestic violence, because they've never been able to learn how to process their anger and their emotions. They're just told to stuff it, and eventually it just blows up, kind of like a volcano, you know. Yeah. And then what happens? People get hurt and bad things happen. But Maura, Commissioner Maura, what are some of the of your thoughts about this?
So mental health is, I want to say, it's probably different in terms of being an immigrant and also a young immigrant. And it could be very subjective because mental health is a broad name. It's just mental health. The number one that our community is lacking is awareness. There is a lot of young people who don't really understand what mental health is. They don't know what does mental health is. And like you had said before, most of the men are actually like younger men, I want to say from probably 18 to 35 or 37. They are having a lot of mental health issues. They are probably brought up from a single single mother. They come from a single mother. The father was never in the picture. All they know is the mom. And what happens, they don't know the other aspect of being a man because there was no father figure in their life. So these things like this, examples like this, lead to a lot of mental health issues, because you could also, there could be a girl comes from a family that is also a single parent family, was never raised by a dad. A young girl meets a young guy, they're dating, they're in love, whatever. But the girl never had a father figure. The boy never had a father figure. So in this kind of cases, the relationship is not very strong because the foundation is also weak. And we get a lot of, that's where now alcoholism begins. That is where abuse, physical abuse, that is where verbal abuse, that is where we find all different aspects where social issues are now becoming a problem. And I want to say this, a lot of our young people, especially in the Kenyan community, there is alcoholism. There is a lot of alcoholism. There is a lot of influence that comes from friends. Some friends want the best out of you. Some don't, because they don't know what good looks like. And it's because of awareness goes back again to what is really, really, what are we trying to reach? What are we trying to say? If we have a problem, who do we look for? Also, if you don't have the awareness, obviously you don't have the resources. And if you don't have the awareness and the resources, it's even shameful for you to come up front and say, hey, I'm battling this. I'm battling depression because this happened to my life. I'm battling alcoholism. I'm battling drugs because of this. So because we don't have those in place and we don't have the mentors who are our older generation that are well-equipped, well-aware, and well-educated, who can educate us as the young generation, and then we can pass it on to the other generation. Because we are lacking that, we are in a crisis, I want to say. Mm-hmm. We are in a crisis, and it's time for intervention. It's time for us to say, hey, where can we do this? Because what that's going to do is going to reduce the rate of alcoholism and drugs. It's going to reduce the rate of suicide. We have a lot of young people committing suicide. Also, people need to be listened to. There's a lot of stressors in life, especially here in America. There is a lot of things that we are going through that we are not able to communicate because we feel like we're in the middle We don't know like who to tell, who to approach, how are they going to respond? And also, if you're going to tell somebody, are they well? Are they listening to you? Are they well equipped? Do they have the knowledge of mental health? Or they'll tell you, hey, you got to man up. You got to man up. Or they say to Black women a lot of times, you need to be strong. You need to be a strong Black woman. You know, you're not supposed to be crying. No, it's okay to cry. So those are some of the challenges that we are facing as young adults, I want to say, in terms of mental health. And they really, it is a crisis. And we would love for, like Wakulima has cohorts where we organize a group of 10, 20 people come together and just put it on the table, say what you got to say, you know? And we want to support, we should be the people who is helping and supporting our other immigrants, especially the ones that look like me, the ones that talk English but is not an American English, the ones that can understand what is going on in Kenya and understand what is going on in America, economics, social life, everything. So who are the people we're supposed to go to and sit down with and tell them this is the issue? Also, with my age mates growing up, we are even doing intermarriages. There is different aspects of it. There's culture difference if you're doing an intermarriage, if you're in an intermarriage relationship. If you are dating probably somebody from a different country, you need to understand their language. They need to understand your language so we can have a really, really build something, build together a family or whatever, instead of ending up in divorces, ending up with somebody you don't want to see in the morning. You're waking up, you're like, whoa, my God, what, you know? Anyways, I'll stop there.
Wow. Okay. Because the thing is, of course, just like David, you've touched on about six or seven different things, which are all great, because you not only touched on them, but you also kind of added a little bit of, you know, depth and insight. But I wanted to back up because you said about living in this country and it being stressful. And I've never been to Africa. So what would you say is the difference in terms of just pressure, stress, anxiety, and living like in Kenya versus Washington State?
Okay. So the first thing that happened to me when I moved here, I did not know there's something called credit score. I had no idea. Like, this is like your net worth. I was like, what is credit score? A lot of people, when they move from Africa, especially my age, they were coming here as adults. Probably somebody graduated, went to college in Kenya, graduated, he's probably 25, 27, 26, let's say, for example. You come here, you have relatives, okay? But your relatives are not very, they're also trying to figure out, they're not very informative. So you have to find a social security. You have to know where to go. You have to know about the credit score. You have to know your status. All these things are precious, because in Africa, you just live like, you know, what's up? You know, there's no credit score. It's either you got food for today or you don't. Life is good. You go to the market, you're with your friends. Bye, 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 bye. See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. But then when you come here, those credit score, you start hearing you cannot move without a car. Otherwise, you're going to be on the road for 4 hours using the bus and you get a report to work. But how do you need a car? You need to get a credit score. What is a credit score? I have no idea. How do I build a credit score? I have no idea. So little stresses like those they start giving you the pressure. The second thing you hear is bills now. There's a phone bill because America is always in debt. You know, there's a phone bill, there's this bill, there's this. You're like, okay, I'm only making $25 an hour. How am I supposed to live comfortably? You know, and support, literally just support your own self, let alone you have to support people back at home. If you left your mom, you left whoever is at home, how do you start there? So these are some of the little stresses. And that's why I was talking about awareness. These little things start to build up. If you don't have the strength to be able to carry on, or you don't have a support family, you don't have supportive friends, you don't know where to go, it's going to start eating you slowly by slowly. It's going to eat you slowly by slowly. And then probably that turns out to be, now you start depending on alcohol, because alcohol, you're going to drink, it's a high for 2 minutes, pass out, tomorrow, you know, and you start being dependent on it. You start using drugs because you get a smoke. It's too much, you know.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it accumulates. It kind of builds up. Like you just kind of like keep pouring water into a glass, and eventually, what happens if you run out of room? It spills over because it's just too much to contain. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Exactly.
You.
So those are some of the challenges, like you asked, being in Africa and being here in America. And also, let's say you're coming from Africa, you're trying to go to school here in America, you have to understand the language because you're going to be here. You have to be able to translate what they're saying. You have to be able to sit down and actually understand what the system, the American system, is compared to the British system. Some people say it's hard. Some people say it's easy. It's all about individual. So I want to say those things that Americans are used to, like it's their normal life, you know, like you're born into credit or here. Those are some of the things that immigrants that are coming from Africa, like my age, are having to face a problem with, because they need somebody who can tell them, hey, this is this and that. What if I run out of tuition money? How am I supposed to sustain myself? What if I have nowhere to go? Who's going to give me food? Where can I go? Can I, where's the food bank? Again, you don't even want to get there because you're already scared inside you. You're like, oh my God, who can I talk to? You know? So, and I think those are some of the things that are causing mental health, let alone also parenting. Like if you are coming from Africa, your parents have lived in America for a long time, there's going to be a difference of parenthood. If you and your parents were long distance away, you've seen your family after maybe 15, 20 years, the way your mom is going to carry you and the way you're going to carry your mom, it's, you guys have to learn to live together again, because again, there's been years, there's been almost 15 years difference. How do we start from here now? You left me as a child. I'm an adult. How can we continue our relationship? How do we build, or how do we break the traumas? There's a lot of childhood traumas. There is a lot of emptiness. There is a lot of mommy issues. There is a lot of daddy issues. There is a lot of this within our community that we are not coming up to say, because again, it's shameful. Oh, I don't want people to know my family, we went through this and this. No, let's talk about it, because every family has their own problems. And then that now starts creating awareness. It starts creating awareness. And then with awareness, we come together. We say, okay, how can we do this? How can we move forward? Me and my mom, we have issues for this. Da, 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 da. And then also the parents can get together and also talk about it. Instead of saying, oh, my child is fine. You know what? My child is so good. My child has never brought me problems. No, nobody's innocent. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering too. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, since you've moved over here, and both of you can chime in on this, have you run into people that have misconceptions about what it's like to live in Africa? And this usually takes the form of like really stupid questions. Like I remember one time I was interviewing in a similar situation. I was interviewing a young woman who was from Saudi Arabia or something, and she had just moved over to Bellevue, Washington, actually. And she says, oh man, you can't believe, you know, I run into people and they ask me, well, you have cell phones there, you know? And then they thought that camels were walking up and down, you know, the streets and stuff. Like they had this image, because they had never been there, of something they saw in a movie like 20 years ago. So I'm just wondering if you ran into, you know, people just asking stupid questions, ignorant questions. And how did you handle that?
Maybe I could probably chime in that. And I remember when I came here, it's many years ago, it's now 24 years ago. I remember very well one time somebody asked me, how did you get here? So I want to just put a disclaimer there that there are a lot of American people who are so ignorant. Mm-hmm. And then I told him, oh, I walked. And then I was just playing games, and he really did work. No, I said, I swam all the way from Africa to here. So there's that ignorance. And then I remember a very silly question I was asked, do people in Africa wear clothes? And I said, no. Actually, what happens just before you get here, they take you to the airport and they give you, teach you how to wear clothes, and they train you to speak English so that at least you'll be able to come. So there's that kind of ignorance, that kind of very, very like silly ignorance. But when you think about it, many, many of us, you can always, I can always, for example, in so many, 9 out of 10 people, I can tell somebody who has traveled abroad or who has interacted with people from other cultures, because there's an element of knowing that this is not it, that there are other people elsewhere who probably are even doing better. Last year, when I went to Dubai, I was appalled by what I imagined Dubai to be. I used to think it was this tiny little city. And I was like, what? Is this really outside America? It's so beautiful, you know? It was a beautiful place, and I could see a lot of development. So the ideas that people get, and then the media also, the TV has been pushing some very, very stupid theories about what people living in Africa is. And that's a narrative that we are trying to change. We are trying to show that there is a lot of goodness. There is a lot of wealth in Africa. Actually, I just saw a documentary the other day. I don't remember what it was, but to say Africa, with the kind of resources it has, it can feed the whole world. There should be absolutely zero problems about food in Africa, because we have great soil, we have great hardworking people, we have a lot of minerals and resources, but most of these are stolen out of our own continent and taken abroad. And then we get the remainder, we call it machicha, whatever remains, you can have, you know, all the trash that remains. So what I'm trying to say is that there are a lot of people who come up and ask you things that you like, who in the hell are you? Where did you get that from? But remember also, it's what has been passed down for generations. Remember the idea of colonization, that we were taught to see ourselves as bad people. We were taught, if you read the Bible, it says, you will be washed and you will be as white as snow. Then we are told this community is white community. You are black community. So even if we wash you, you'll never be. So those are some of the things. And there's a lot of, when you look at a piece of paper, when you look at a piece of paper where somebody has written something, the dominant is the white part of it. So the black part of the writing, these are some things that are put subconsciously in our minds, that we come up with a lot of inferiority complexes. We think that we have to be the second person in the building. We have to be the other. We have to be the one seeking for assistance because we've been, you know, trained. There's a lot of conversations that you can go around this. But what I would also like to mention to you, Kevin, is that understanding where we come from, our community had roles. For example, the woman would be the nurturing person. She would be the mother. I, as the man, I would be considered to be the father. I would be the one who's the provider. I would go get food for my kids. I'd go work and go, you know, do whatever it takes to make sure that my kids or my family is well catered for. When we come here, the roles reverse, because women come here and they work very hard and they start making, they go to school. I'm an African man, I come here, I wanna sit and say, hey, I'm still thinking about the role that, you know, the woman is supposed to bring the money and then I can give her some money. And she's like, hell no, hey, this is my money, buddy. So that creates a lot of conflict again in the families. And we now start seeing divisions of people who potentially would have worked together with a common understanding. It's very challenging. I've seen a lot of challenges for African men to accept that their wives, their spouses, their children, especially female children, can be able to excel and still be part of a good wife, for example, and still be part of it as a good daughter who can be a sister. We're saying that I am the man, you know, I'm the one who should be calling the shots, but I am aiming too low. And when the ladies come here, they are no, that's not the limit. I can go beyond that. And they do, because the good thing with the American system is that if you work hard, you will reap what you sow. But as we want to come and say, okay, I'll work at this level. I want just to be CNA, for example, if it's in the nursing, but the females come and say, oh, nursing is for women. And then I'm saying, oh, how, what is a man doing in the nursing field? And yet we know that these are opportunities that are afforded. So there is a lot of internal conflict within us immigrants that we are trying to even understand ourselves. Like Mora said, she comes here, for example, her parents are living here, and they have not been connected for a while. So as a parent, I would say, oh, let me pamper her. Whatever she wants, she gets. And then I don't make her understand because I'm still trying to understand the system. I don't have to make her understand that in this country, this is what you do. These are the steps. Because I don't probably have the time. I have to go to work to make sure that I have enough jobs so that I can feed the entire family. Because I'm still thinking about that parental, male parental role that I always had, that I have to be the provider. And yet, when we start seeing these resources shared amongst the families, when we start finding time to spend with the kids, many of our young people get children and they have to go to work after 6 weeks or 8 weeks and leave the child with a nanny because I got to go to work because of, as you say, bills. You have to do this. You have to support, remember, you have to support people in Africa because when you come here, you're now seeing like you have become a small god. Like, you know, or an ATM machine. We just punch our numbers and zoop, there's something called M-Pesa or Cash App or Zelle. You just send the money. Because you know what? In America, money grows on trees. It's just, you just have to get out of the house and get the money from the trees. So that's the one of the challenges.
Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree. You got the
Dollar Tree. Yeah, exactly. You have been listening to another episode of Limitless Journeys, the African Immigrant Podcast. This episode focused on the challenges and adjustments immigrants must make when moving to America. David and Mara also talked about mental health issues and starting a new farming business. I'm your host, Kevin P. Henry, and this has been Limitless Journeys, the African Immigrant Podcast.